So while I'm at this, let me just put in this, dear ones, especially all of us, all of you messianic believers right now, remember there is no salvation unless you believe in Messiah's deity, that he is God. Without that, there is no salvation. Too many of our, well, I don't know how to say it, those of our missionaries or ministers, messianic, who deal with our people, were so anxious to get them to receive Yeshua as the Messiah, which that is, but unless we emphasize the fact that he is God manifested in the flesh, and I like what the Rabbi Saul or the Apostle Paul, the Gentile, sort of claimed him. I tried to convince them that he wasn't Pennsylvania Dutch, but he was very Jewish, but the Apostle Paul said it very beautifully at the end of his life. Believe me, if there ever was a theologian, if there ever was a theologian outside of Moses, and they're different, Paul was that. He says, great is the mystery of deity. Now, I know when I was a young pup, so to speak, as a student for the ministry, wet behind the ears, I used to try and explain the Trinity of all things. Only a young whippersnapper would try that. When you become mature, you don't try it, because it just can't be done. Nobody ever did it. Neither the prophets, nor Paul, nor anybody else. But it's a stated fact. Great is the mystery of deity. God manifested in the flesh. Now, anybody here can explain that to me. Will you please come up and explain it? Now, I don't know, but you explain it to me. There it is. But, as I say, one of the chief objections of our people to the Gospel of John is that John starts out right at the beginning, as Genesis does, in the beginning was. And that word was is an indefinite term which does not include time. Was is timeless. All right? The word. That would be their objection. And I've had them come to me, but Mr. Glass, how can a man become God? I said, you've got the cart before the horse. It isn't that a man became God. No, man can't do that. But there's nothing stopping the Almighty from becoming a man. He can do that, can't he? No, he is. Well, there it is. So there you have his deity. That's the main thing. And notice, first of all, his eternal existence. We've already mentioned that, John 1:1-2. The same as in the beginning with God. And then notice in John 8:58, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, then what? I am. And that sort of shook them up, didn't it? And they had objections to that then, and they have objections to it now. See, there's eternal existence. Notice again in John, the first chapter, 3:10, all things were made by him. Notice here, the writer of John not only claims his eternal existence, but his essential execution of creation. Well, he said to me, but I thought it says Bereshit bara Elohim. Yes, it does. In the beginning God created. So what does that make Messiah when it says all things are made by him? Now, I mean logically, what does that make him?
God,
don't you see? Well, now, we have to know who Yeshua is. And dear ones, those of you who worked with your people, our people, my people, your people, remember, that's the crux of the matter. The Apostle Paul, in his dealing with his people in Romans 9:10-11, said, if thou shalt confess, not the Lord Jesus, that's weak, watery, incipient, and meaningless. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Yeshua as the Adon, Adon Olam, really what that meant, Kurios, Jehovah, his deity, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, humanity, thou shalt be saved. I never forget an experience I had in Chattanooga. There's a certain Jewish druggist by the name of Harry Gordon. He's a big fellow. He was really big physically, and as big as he was physically, he was as big a sinner too. You know, I mean, when the Lord saved him, he saved a huge sinner in every proportion. He was a druggist, and he was money hungry, so he sold drugs, you know, narcotics without prescription that paid well. Also abortifacients. And finally, Tennessee State Board caught up with him, and they removed his license, justly so. And he had a big sentence hanging over him, about 20 or 30 years. And having a smart lawyer, you know, that can turn black into white, why, they got off that. Well, I tried to visit Harry with the gospel, and every time he'd see me coming, he'd go in the back, he'd run away, you know, the back of a drugstore into the bathroom there, and hide. Well, who follows a man there? But finally, Harry came to the end of his rope, and he wanted to see me. And he sent, by the hand of a very kosher Irishman, Wilbur Malone, and he wanted to see me, so I went to see him. He wanted a Bible. That was provided. And then, I'll never forget, the first thing when he saw me, he shook hands with me, he called me brother, of course, Jews, we are from the same family. He said, Brother Arthur, now here's a question for you. I want to know who Jesus is. Do you know what he meant by that? If you do, raise your hand. Tell me. All right?
He wanted to know his credentials, I think.
Yes, that's good. But come on, sister, enlarge upon that. What are his credentials? Oh, that's it. Now you've got it. Now here's, I knew what he meant. It's all right, brother. I've got it now. If Jesus was only a man, or even the Messiah, and nothing more as a man, then it's idolatry, right? And if he was God, a God, then you're worse trouble. Two gods means no God. You see, the idea of God, the word God means uniqueness, alone. There's none other. That's why God says in Isaiah, to whom will you liken me, saith Job. What? So I said, again, I didn't answer him directly, and as a Jew does with a Jew, I answered with a question. I said, Harry, do you believe the prophets? Why, he was almost outraged at that question. Of course I do. I know the devil began to send in business in his drugstore, but he had two brothers, and he beat the devil to the punch. He says, Ike, you take care of this. Charlie, take care of that. I have important business here to discuss. So I took him, well, you know, the wonderful text, 7:14, Isaiah 7:14, and I read it to him. I said, here the Lord says, behold, the Lord, he himself, there's the double pronoun in Hebrew. Hine, I don't know who, yitin lachemot. I said, he'll give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And I said, who will that son be, Harry? Well, of course, if he comes from the virgin, he's a man. It wasn't a question of the virgin birth now anymore. I said, yes, but look at his name. Emmanuel. In Hebrew, you don't need the translation. It's there. So I took him to Isaiah 9:6. I said, unto us, Lotus Sarah is a child born. I said, who's this child? Well, it has to be a man if he's a child. I said, surely. When you can agree, agree. Don't argue. The Lord was a child, no question about it. I said, notice the change, unto us the son is given. And I said, Harry, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, now I had the Hebrew Bible, Pele. I'm sorry for some of these translations, so-called good translations, that make the word Pele an adjective, when in the Hebrew it never appears as an adjective. It's always a noun, and it applies to no one save deity in the Old Testament. So you see, those wonderful translators have certainly earned a medal from Satan by doing that for us. But anyhow, the Hebrew I don't have any worry about. I take it as it is. I said, look at the word Pele. It's translated wonderful, but the word wonderful doesn't even begin to touch it. It means inscrutable, indefinable, unfathomable, and any similar adjectives. And when you've got them all together, it even hasn't started to translate the word Pele. Anyhow, there it is, Pele, Yoetz. Then notice Harry El Gibber, the Almighty God. That's simple, El Gibber is Almighty God. Aviad, I know it's translated in our English, is it Eternal Father? But the Hebrew means, Aviyat means Father of Eternity. Sar Shalom. And Harry looked, didn't say a word. Well, I showed him other passages, but finally came to, I didn't even have to use Isaiah 53, if I remember. I went to Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, says Jehovah. I'm just quoting it now, sort of literally. I will raise unto David a branch of righteousness. I said, who's that branch of righteousness, Harry? Well, branch of righteousness of David, he must be a man if he comes from David. I said, sure, that's true. And he shall reign as king, he shall execute justice and judgment, and his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Now, I said, Harry, here's the punchline. Read it. And this is the name that he shall be called. You remember? Yehovah Tzidkenu. Jehovah our righteousness. He looked at that. I said, Harry, you want to know who Jesus is? Here's Jeremiah's answer. Harry reached out with a great big paw of a hand and grabbed mine. Oh, he says, all right, Arthur, I hear and now accept the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That next Sunday, we went to the church, Highland Park Baptist Church, if any of you know of Dr. Lee Robertson. All right. First, I had gone to see Dr. Robertson, told him what had happened. Dr. Robertson was glad to tears. And I said, no, I'm not going to tell you what to preach on, Brother Roberts. Nobody tells you, but keep that in mind. All right, Arthur. And Harry, like me, he took the front seat in the synagogue, so to speak. When Brother Robertson finished a very powerful evangelistic message, it could appeal to a Jew and a Gentile as well, I mean. And he gave the invitation. Harry was the first one. He didn't walk. He almost ran. Never forget. And Dr. Robertson said to him, are you coming to confess Jesus as your personal Savior, putting your faith in him? And he bawled out, in nobody else. Well, that's the objection. You see, deity must realize who the Jewish brother or sister with whom you're dealing must know who Yeshua is. Understand? All right. It's the objection. Not only, and then his entry into humanity. We're told that the Word became flesh. Notice, step by step, the Gospel of John starts with his eternal existence, and that this Messiah, this little baby that Mary cuddled with love and maternal affection, that little baby, helpless, was the helper of the helpless.